Good evening, my brothers and sisters, and truly, this is a privilege. We think that we have this. We're entitled to these things we have. This is a privilege, and nobody can give us these things we have but our Father. Yes, so at this time, I want to say thank you to all my brothers and sisters everywhere. Today is Wednesday. This is our blog talk reading class, and right now, I want to identify myself. This is Deacon Reed, and I want to welcome all of you to Running for Christ Ministries Bible reading class. We thank God for each of you joining in with us every week, and we ask that you help us by letting someone else know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we'll be reading the books, Songs of Songs, verse chapters 141 through 145. And following that, we will begin answering the review questions. If you would like to take part in answering the review questions or making a comment, just press the number 1, and that will put you in the host queue. And your mic will be open for you to ask a question, or make a comment if you have a desire to do so. Please do us a huge favor by keeping all the background noise down to a bare minimum or to none. A good way to do this is to simply put your phone on mute and when you're not speaking. But then when you want to speak, unmute it, and then you're allowed to speak and ask questions or do whatever that you would like to ask us or say what you'd like to say or answer a question. All right? So right now we're going to take a prayer, and at the conclusion of this prayer, we're going to go right into the recording sounds of Psalms 141 through 145. But right now I'm going to do a short prayer and we'll get started. Dear Father God, I want to say thank you for this day, for not just myself, but all my brothers and sisters. Lord, and at this time I want to ask repentance for not just myself again, but for all my brothers and sisters out there that has not asked for repentance for whatever they may have said or done today that was not pleasing to you. Lord, at this time we ask that you allow us to shake up your word today and gather some out of it that will be advantageous to us. And when I say to us, it gives us a little insight and knowledge and wisdom about you. We have a better relationship with you, and then we'll be able to do more for you. Lord, we just ask these and all of the blessings in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm 141, a Psalm of David. I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds, along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies. Let a righteous man strike me, that is a kindness. Let him rebuke me, that is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it, for my prayer will still be against the deeds of evildoers. Their rulers will be thrown down from the cliffs, and the wicked will learn that my words were well spoken. They will say, as one plows and breaks up the earth, so our bones have been scattered at the mouth of the grave. But my eyes are fixed on you, Sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. Keep me safe from the traps set by evildoers, from the snares they have laid for me. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by in safety. Psalm 142, a Maskil of David, when he was in the cave, a prayer. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. Look and see, there is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison that I may pray. praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Psalm 143, a psalm of David. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. Psalm 144 of David. Praise be to the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. Lord, what are human beings that you care for them, mere mortals that you think of them? They are like a breath. Their days are like a fleeting shadow. Part your heavens, Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Send forth lightning and scatter the enemy. Shoot your arrows and rout them. Reach down your hand from on high. Deliver me and rescue me from the mighty waters, from the hands of foreigners, whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. I will sing a new song to you, my God. On the 10-stringed lyre I will make music to you, to the one who gives victory to kings, who delivers his servant David. From the deadly sword, deliver me. Rescue me from the hands of foreigners, whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. And our sons in their youth will be like well-nurtured plants, and our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace. Our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Our sheep will increase by thousands, by tens of thousands in our fields. Our oxen will draw heavy loads. There will be no breaching of walls, no going into captivity, no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed is the people of whom this is true. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 145, a psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, a and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
All right, my brothers and sisters, I'm glad to know that we are paying attention today because we got these questions ready to be answered. I know we're not going to procrastinate. We're going to get right started with the questions. So, my brothers and sisters, am I hearing anybody out there to speak on asking these questions? So I know how we start this off.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I hear good brethren. Dr. Welch, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
We will get started, and they will chime in as we go. All right? So, first question is, David said to take control of what and do what with the delicacies?
Okay. That would be chapter 141, and I have 1 through 4 with the footnotes of 1 and 3, and it reads as follows. O Lord, I am calling to you. Please hurry. Listen when I call to you for help. Accept my prayer and incense offered to you, and may uprise hands as an evening offering. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Don't let me drift toward evil or take part in actions of wickedness, but don't let me share in the delicacies of those who do wrong.
Okay. Let's see what the foot. Give me some of that 141:3, and we'll go into that for a minute. Go ahead.
Okay. And it says, James wrote that the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness crushing your entire body. On the average, a person opens his or her mouth approximately 700 times a day to speak. David wisely asked God to keep him from speaking evil, even as he underwent persecution. Jesus himself was silent before his accusers, knowing that the power of the tongue, we would be well to ask God to guard what we say, so that our words will bring honor to his name. Amen.
All right. Now, when you were talking about James 3:6, what James was saying is James compared the damage of the tongue can do to a raging fire. The tongue's wickedness has its source in hell itself. The uncontrolled tongue can do terrible damage. Satan uses the tongue to divide people and pit them against one another. Idle and hateful words are real damaging because they spread destruction quickly. And no one can stop the results once they're spoken. Once you ring that bell and call me out my name, You can't take that back. You can say sorry 9 million times. But you already rung the bell. You can't not ring.
But you know what, Deacon?
Go ahead.
Why do we do stuff like that, man, you know?
A lot of times that's our desire for instant gratification. You said something to anger me, and you might have said something that was 100% right, but it angered me because you didn't have the right to tell me. So now you just said that. Now I'm going to fly up this tongue, put it on fire, and I'm going to let you have some, baby. I'm going to choke
you
up with some words. But that's what we just have to retaliate. We look for instant gratification sometimes.
Okay. But, you know, as you're listening to David recite Psalms and everything, it's like he has the same characteristics that we have and everything, but he's praying on that. How many times did we do that for ourselves, though?
Well, we don't do all the praying, but we go through the same thing he going through. But he had enough sense of stuff to ask the Lord for help. Well, we try and solve it ourselves sometimes.
Okay.
I have
right.
a tendency, I used to have a tendency of trying to solve it myself. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, that's what the whole thing is about, especially when he refers over there to James. That's why I'm currently preaching that. And maybe
mm-hmm.
this Sunday I'll actually get a chance to preach James 3. Okay. But anyway, that's what the whole deal is.
Sorry
over
about
there
that,
in that chapter, it talks about us allowing God to speak through us or allowing Satan to speak through us. We're
right.
never a neutral party. We either speak on behalf of the Lord or we speak on behalf of Satan. There is no middle ground. There is no us.
Right.
If we are Christian, we belong to the Lord, so the words we speak in all our ways, we acknowledge him. So, of course, in our speech, we acknowledge him before it comes out. But here's the problem. And the question, Oliver asked a good question. Why do we do that? We have a sin nature. We have a sin nature. And in the middle of that, in this situation, is our soul. Our spirit is completely saved, turned over to God. Always wants to do what the Holy Spirit says. Our flesh is not along for the ride at all. That's why it has to go and be renewed. Our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions are caught up in the middle of these two. And so when we get ready to speak, either we're going to listen to the flesh and respond like that, or we're going to listen to the spirit who's in love with God's spirit and wants to do what's right. Again, here's the deeper. Now let's get deeper into the problem. Jesus said, I think it's in Matthew 13 or 12, out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he was talking about things that defile you. They were trying to say, because his disciples ate some without washing their hands, they was defiled according to their traditions. But Jesus corrected them and told them, it's not that which goes into you that messes you up. It's that which comes out. And then he talked about out of the heart comes thefts, murders, adulteries, false witnesses. That's slander. He said, these are the things that defile you. Now, when Jesus finds us, all of that and some is in us. And we've been working with it as best we knew how all our life. But now we're born again. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so now we have to change what's inside us so the right thing comes out of us. So why do we do it? The more of God you have in you, and what I mean by that is the more of his word you know and practice, the less of that will come out of you. But if you say you're a Christian, you join a church, you've been in the church for 20 years, you don't go to Bible class, you don't do no home Bible study, you don't attend no class of spirit, you just go to church sometimes. Well, you're pretty much the same as you were when you got saved. and you haven't done any work on your inside. And so you can cuss people out just like you used to and not even feel bad about it. I saw a lady on television who was so spiritually immature. She was on television in Pennsylvania the other day praying that Jesus would go find the illegitimate votes and show the people so the right people could get in office. She's literally talking to Jesus about nonsense like that, like the Lord. He says, my will be my kingdom, okay, on earth as it is in heaven. Not me coming down there and joining y'all little crappy politics. But she was so spiritually immature, she prayed to him to find Trump's prayer that he didn't lose the election. It was great fraud. Find these fraudulent votes. She literally asked Jesus to do that. And I thought, how spiritually immature are you? But she probably go to church all the time. But she probably never attend any Bible classes, never do any home Bible study. And so you pretty much stay the same. So the way you were when Jesus found you, if you feel like you're a whole lot like that, that's because you haven't replaced anything with anything. Out with the old, in with the new.
Like Deacon
James
St. Peter, he said it out there and went and picked it back up.
Exactly. Don't take the stuff out to the garbage and don't fill up with nothing else, because Jesus said there was a woman or a man who had been demons cast out of him, but the man didn't do anything to change, and the demon got tired of being in the abyss or just roaming around. So he said, I'll go back to the place where I was. And when he came back, he found it all cleaned out with nothing in it. And so he went and got seven more demons worse than him and brought them back. And so the last state of the man was worse than the beginning, because he used to have one demon. Now he got several demons living in him. And
wow.
All of that was because when he cleaned everything out, he didn't put anything in. So the demons came right back. If you don't want your old behavior to come right back, get some new behavior.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Well,
what can I say?
Question number two. We'll go with that one. Excuse me. Had you concluded with what you wanted to say, Deacon Welk?
Yes, sir. That question was very, very, very spiritually answered.
Yes, yes. Question two, when their leaders are thrown down from a cliff, what will happen? And where did I have for that? Okay. And hold on, as you're looking, I want to also say to anybody that's listening, press the one button to open up your mic, and you are well. We'll be waiting for you to get in to ask questions or make comments. And
would that
know
be
what we're
six and
go ahead.
Would that be six and seven? Or five, six and seven.
I'll take six and seven.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm gonna go right with y'all. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Pastor.
When their leaders are thrown down from a cliff, the wicked will listen to my words and find them true. Like rocks brought up by a plow, the bones of the wicked will lie scattered without burial. Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, my good brother, since I can say this to you now, can I get you to read the footnote, please?
Okay, you're going to have to get Ollie to do that. I got the Bible Gateway.
Come on, Brother Ollie.
So
I need a brother with some knowledge about this. Come on.
Okay.
I need a man with knowledge. Come on, Brother Ollie.
Okay, what footnotes are they?
142.6.
142.
46. Sound like a radio station. No.
Okay.
142 verses.
142, and the verse was what?
Verse 6, sir, the footnote.
Let me grab my Bible.
Okay. Hear my cry.
No. The footnotes of 142. Here, let me grab it real quick. I got it. Have you ever felt that no one cares what happened to you? David had good reason to feel that way, and he wrote, "Hear my cry, for I am very low. Through prayer, we can pull out all of the tailspin and be reminded that God cares for us deeply." Let's move. And we got 6 and 7. Oh, no, we in 141. My bad.
Right, 141, 6 and 7. Okay.
Yes.
Well, they have it tied together. Well, let's see, 1-4, they just got 5. They don't have 6 and 7. They just have 5. Whenever you come across there and there's no footnote for it, that means it's self-explanatory.
Yep, 5 and 6. Okay, no footnote. You're right. There isn't.
No, they group together 4 through 6 because it carries the same thought.
Message.
So they group that together as a one part of the conversation, speaking on the same thing.
Okay. All right. Next question. Oh, sovereign Lord, what is my need for you? And what about the traps set for whom? And what happens to the wicked?
Okay. 8 through 10.
I'll take it.
I don't know what church you go to, bro, but they just taught you something. You got these answers right. Go ahead.
I'm liking this. This is fun. I look to you for help, O sovereign Lord. You are my refuge. Don't let them kill me. Keep me from the traps they set for me, and from the snares of those who do wrong. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, but let me escape. You know, that is exactly what happened to Haman. Remember him? He set up that 75-foot tall gallows to hang Mordecai on.
Yeah.
And he was comforting himself, saying,
"He wound up getting
tomorrow I'm going to hang him." And he got hung on it.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Set them traps. It could be your trap, he said. All right. Thank you. Question number 4. It reads, How did he plead for the Lord's mercy? And what do I tell him? And who knows what? No, and he knows which way I should turn. Let me try that again. How did he plead for the Lord's mercy? And what do I tell him? And who knows which way I should turn? Okay, there we go.
Okay. Let me take a stab at this. Okay. That's chapter 142. And I'm going to read
right.
This is
fun.
Yes, it is. I'm going to read from 1 through 6. I might slide it to 7.
One to who?
Okay. I cry out to the Lord.
Wait a minute. What is that? 1 through 7?
That's
the whole song?
Right. No, we got 1 through 3.
1 through 3, that's what I had.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I got carried away, gentlemen.
He wanted to give a complete answer.
That's
well, you know where
we
I got that from.
Class. 1 through 3 is what I had.
All right. And the reason follows, gentlemen. I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles. When I am overwhelmed, you alone know the way I should turn. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. Amen.
Amen. There you go, my good brethren. Yes. They set them traps, but we just got to be talking about them. Yeah.
And, you know, if you're in the Lord's will, the enemy that he's talking about setting the traps, see, if we look in light, if we think in light of Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. And if we remember Job, that he was the devil was the spiritual wickedness in high places who went to God and became Ha-Satan, the accuser of the brethren, and he started accusing Job of having the ulterior motive of serving God. And then God let him go down there, and boy, they set all kind of traps for Job. And when none of those worked and he still didn't cuss God, then Satan sent three of his friends, Job's friends, and he got into them and started trashing Job. Okay, so the enemies, we shouldn't think of the enemies as being people we know, because Satan can take you to a whole new city and raise up some enemies you ain't ever met. Okay, so what he's talking about here, David literally is king and being attacked. But for us today, the enemies are those who would try to thwart our efforts of serving God.
The ones who want to get in our way from being his children.
Exactly. From being in his will.
Well, in his
they
will.
Try to
okay,
stop
yeah.
us from being in his will. Like, you know, the stuff I was told about running for Christ and the stuff about me and all this other stuff and why running for Christ wouldn't make it a year, you know, and all that stuff. I knew that
and
wasn't
the people.
And we
19 strong.
Exactly. I knew it wasn't the people. It was. It is people Satan thought I would listen to and say, you know, I like these people and we cool. They got to be telling me the truth. But it was Pastor Hill on that day at that time who finally convinced me to do what God told me to do. I saw the Lord's face in him and heard his words come through his mouth straight to me. It is what it is, and he was telling me it's not a ministry, it's a church. And so from there, that's when I decided and got with Sheila, and we started looking for a place to have church. It took me 3 months to find a place and get, you know, 501c3 straight. But yeah, you do the will of when you decide to. All you have to do is decide you're gonna study the Bible for the next hour. Everybody in the world got to talk to you. All of a sudden, you
that's
can
true.
Go sit in the middle of a forest, crack that Bible open. All of a sudden, all the birds want to talk to you. It makes no difference. No matter wherever you try to get into the Word of God, you can try to pray. All of a sudden, you got to think every other thought that you ever thought you might have thought. It happens all the time. No sooner than I sit on the couch, get everything together, start the tape, the phone rings. But see, I'm mature enough to know that I got a guy who answers my phone sound just like me, and he tells people to leave a detailed message, and then I'll call them back. And there you go. I've learned I don't have to answer every call because I ain't 911. I ain't no lawyer. I ain't the police. I ain't the president of the United States. So if you got an emergency, you done called the wrong number anyway. So, amen.
Okay.
Hello, right. Connie. We love it.
Seven? No. We're on six, right?
The third.
Okay, five,
six.
Right?
Five? Wait a minute. We didn't do five. What did David want help for? Oh, no, we didn't. What did David want help for? And he found out how many really care and how many things I want in life. It's a breakdown. Easy to answer, though.
Take it away, Pastor.
Okay, four and five.
My man.
Jesus say, wait for it, wait for it. Ollie threw me the ball. I'm running. He says, I look for someone to come and help me. This is fun. I haven't done this. I listen to these questions every week, but the Lord say, why don't you answer the questions? I say, well, okay. So I'm answering the questions. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Then I pray to you, O Lord. I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. That's awesome. You know how many people say, you just wait till when I get over, and ain't nobody want to help me. And when I get over, I ain't gonna help nobody. You know that's
right,
a horrible
right.
way to think about that. I look for the Lord to help me, because when Jesus helps you, it comes with no strings. When people help you, you probably belong to them for the rest of your life. And every time they ask you to do something, you happen to say, no, I can't do it. Oh, you don't remember when I, that comes up. So I like Jesus to send people to help. Because when Jesus sends people to help you, they don't want nothing back. They tell you, he told me to do it. And so there's no strings attached. But when
right.
you call people on the phone and say, help me, and they help you, they just bought you for a little while, maybe. Unless they're the right Christian, you just got bought for a little while, and they're going to throw that up in your face. Everything. For some people, you give them $20, they're on you for life. Oh, you don't remember that $20 I gave you when we was 18. Well, dude, we retired now. I still owe you that $20.
Well, man, you ain't get it back. Funny. You ain't never get it back yet.
No, you kept telling me for 20 years every time I tried to get out of it and give it back, say, no, man, you don't owe me nothing. I did that because I'm your boy. But then all
yeah,
of a sudden,
right.
you know, but every time I tell you no, oh, I ain't tell you no about that 20 back in 1932.
you
know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is good. David is letting us know, that, hey, and how many of us have been through that? You know, we help
everybody.
Yeah, when we need some help, we can't get nothing.
Nothing. And, I'm going to tell you, I've learned on my own through being walked over a few times, just because you're willing to give or do, assist, pick up, or drop a person off at work, if you get your car go down, that don't mean you don't get that same ride or courtesy from them. Not a day to bought them a struggle, buddy.
Oh, true that, man.
Yeah, they're right past you. I mean, which I don't have a problem, because I jump on the bus in a heartbeat if I got somewhere I gotta go.
Real.
Yeah. But, and we look for the a tit for tat. I did this for you. Can't you do that for me? And my mom always said, look, if somebody do something for you and they don't want nothing, leave a 10 or 20 in the ashtray. They'll find it. They'll know where it came from. Yeah, so if they say, oh, no, that's okay, if they turn their hands, stick it in the ashtray. Then when they see it, they say, oh, he gave it to me anyway. Yeah. She said, in that way, you're not obligated to him down the street. Like he was just saying, you remember when I did that? Oh, no, I know, but if you remember when you looked in your ashtray, you found a $15 or $20 or a $10 bill, that covered that.
Right.
So that was like catching a cat.
I paid my way out.
Yeah, right.
I don't know you.
I'm good at that, and I overpay sometimes, so they can't say, well, you ain't give me but 10 or nothing. Well, I gave you $20. You ain't take me nowhere to drive me off in Lincoln Park. We was in E-Course. I gave you $20.
I know. It's like we went to Flint.
Yeah, right. We was like 2 miles away. And I told her, you ain't even had to go to loop around the building. Just drive me off in front of the store. I'll walk across the street. See, I don't want you to have to be able to come back to me. Man, I did this. Yeah, you did. But I monetarily gratified you for what you did.
Right. I paid you for your kindness.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah, that's it. So David is letting us know that when we get to feeling like nobody will help us, well, they didn't make you. Jesus said, cast your care on me because I care for you, not them. We just got these people. We feel like Jesus told me to come ask you. No, he didn't, because Jesus knew I was going to tell you no. Yeah, he told you to come ask me so I could tell you no. He didn't tell you I was going to tell you yes, did he? No. What we do is we get in the way. That's what happens. When we get into the lowest places in our life, Jesus want to be the one to come to our rescue. So we get faith. And we stop getting mad at people because they tell us no. People don't have to do nothing for you. They're not your God. They didn't make you. And in most cases, they ain't even your parent, your brother, or your sister. You got the nerve to be mad at them like they owe you. God owes you.
Yes.
Jesus owes you. Not a human being. They don't owe you anything. But we get mad at people when they tell us, no, you could help me if you, and you call yourself a Christian. You call yourself a Christian, but ain't asking God for nothing. You over here fussing at me. So, you know, David is letting us know up front, go to God and ask him. What does Philippians 4:6 say? Terrence preach it all the time. Don't worry about anything.
But pray about everything.
Yeah. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Like the psalmist said, I tell God. I come to you, Lord. You my refuge. You the one that's going to hear every time I say. You the one that got the yes and the amen.
Nice.
They got the yes, I can't help you, man.
Yep, he got that platinum card. He can tell somebody, look, go help my man over there for me. He can give out them directions. Okay, we're going to be a fill in the blank on this one. Question 6, hear my cry, blank, you are good to me.
All righty, that's chapter 142, verses 6 through 7. And
how you feel, Bro Ali? I'm all over this.
Okay, I'm going to show off. I'm going to read both footnotes. Okay. Hear my cry, for I am very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, so I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. And it reads the following footnotes. Have you ever lived? Okay, excuse me. My glasses. Have you ever felt that no one cares what happened to you? Yes, I have. David had good reason to feel that way when he wrote this. Hear my cry, for I'm very low. Through prayer, we can pull out our tailspins and be reminded that God cares for us deeply. The psalmist was written by David was hiding in Saul and praise, like the one in Olium. These may seem like prisons to him because of the confinement. Okay. So I take it in those footnotes and everything. It's like, even though it was like a physical atmosphere that David was in, but even though in our lives it's a physical atmosphere of what we're in that same situation.
Okay. Hear my cry, why I'm very low. Through prayer, we can pull out of our tailspin and be reminded that God cares for us. Yes, a lot of times I have a situation and I spiral sometimes out of the way until I get to like, wait a minute, why am I clowning, worrying about this? And then I go to the side, or I might just pull over if I'm driving. Pull over in a parking lot and say what I got to say, because sometimes I can't drive too good. I'll be talking to him because I might close my eyes and I ain't taking that chance. But, yeah, it's good to be able to just be able to go to him, period. And David got a habit of it. He don't care what's going on in his life. He say, like, look, I know my man down the street got my back, but I'm going to where I know I can really get some help. I'm going to the Lord, and he go in a heartbeat. I like that. And I think I got to get better at that again. I'm making improvements, but I haven't reached that point yet.
We all do, though.
I've not reached the plateau I need to be at, but I'm striving to get there.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll go to question number 7. Who is faithful and righteous, and how many on trial would be innocent?
Okay. Can I say 1 and 2 in chapter 43?
My man. Talk to me, Brother Welch.
All righty then. And it reads as follows.
Okay.
Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my plea. Answer me because you are faithful and righteous. Don't put your servant on trial, for no one is innocent before you. Amen.
Amen.
He said the magic word, no one.
So, Pastor, this is what I got out of verse 2. Don't put your servant on trial, for no one is innocent before you. So if any of us go before him, we have no leg to stand on. Like, what we did is also righteous. We okay. We did good. So
right.
We don't fit that bill at all before him.
No, not at all. We
okay.
Definitely don't want to be hauled off before the Lord to be judged for anything, because we would be guilty.
Right.
So we plead for his loving kindness and his mercy. And, you know, that is, we appeal. That's why it's important to know God's attributes. You know, we know his natural ones, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, or omnipotent, immutable, never change, and eternal. Those are natural to God. God Father, God Son, Holy Spirit all possess those natural attributes. That's why they're God. Now, his moral attributes are holiness, or holy, justice and righteousness, and loving kindness and mercy. And that's why you hear the psalmist, when he's talking to God, he'll say, I'm appealing to your loving kindness and mercy. I'm appealing to your righteousness and justice. I'm appealing to your great love. And usually in the Bible, where you see that word love, is action. It's agapeo, or like we call it, agape. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's that all love. It's that unlimited love, love without limits. It's that.
Okay, hold on. What did you call it, agape?
We call it agape, but in the Greek it's agapeo.
Agapeo. All right. I never heard that
until tonight. Like I say, I got this Bible Gateway, and it gives you everything.
Okay.
You know, Hebrew, Greek. If I want to know the Hebrew, Greek, for instance, it says, we love because he first loved us. Now, the Greek words for that is ego, agapeo, hatai, autos, protos, agapeo, ego. What I just said was...
And think I was drunk if I said that.
Exactly. What I said was, now agapeo, or agape, what we call it, is to love, in the New Testament, usually the active love of God for his son and for his people. So we love because he first loved us. But if you say it in the Greek, it's ego agapeo hatai atos protos agapeo ego. And that's why you don't hear me speak Greek, because people would be like, I hope you get better. I'm praying for you. Sounded like you were going to throw up.
And that's so true. That is so true. You know, you should have heard him the other day.
Exactly. I was talking to Pastor. Y'all need to pray for your pastor. He was throwing up. I think he's going to throw up. He said something about echoes and hot ties and all those.
And we didn't get nothing out of what he said.
Exactly. John MacArthur does it all the time. I listen to him, and he used so many Greek words. I'm like, dude, you just lost half your audience. They don't know that word.
Right.
It's like speaking in tongues with no interpreter.
Oh, yeah.
I got books. The books I have that I study out of, the commentaries I use, if you can call it that, that's what it does. It takes the scripture, each word from its original language to the Greek, to the Hebrew, to the regular words we use.
Okay.
And that way you can see each word in the verse and what it means.
Wow.
And so you don't just analyze the whole verse. You analyze each word in the verse because we love because he first loved us.
Right.
So we is ego. Love is agapeo, because is hatai, and he is autos, protos is first, and loved, again, agapeo, and us, ego. So
okay. That
way you know you're getting a correct interpretation. So I have a Greek biblical library of the New Testament, plus books on Greek words. But, you know, trying to use all them words in church, as soon as you start that, you start losing people. Because they don't study them words. They read the words we're reading.
Yeah, we have enough problems with the King's English.
Oh, God. That's why I wrote my third book. I got so tired of people thinking the King James Bible is the original Bible. That is so far from the truth, it ain't funny. And every time I hear somebody say that, I know just how biblically, historically biblically, they are immature. They have no idea that the King James Version was the last one written. The very last of all of the Reformation Bibles, it was the last.
Mm-hmm.
You have so many Bibles that were Erasmus, Hebrew, Greek Bible, William Tyndale, thoroughly readable English Bible, Martin Luther's German Bible, I can't even think of his name, Miles Coverdale's Bible, the Great Bible, the Geneva Bible. So, you know, there were so many Bibles written before the King James Bible. Was unbelievable. But the thing about the King James Bible is this. All these other Bibles had footnotes and commentaries to help the people understand what God was saying, but some of them were slighted toward their denomination, their hatred for the Pope. One Bible wrote that the Pope was the Antichrist. So what King James said was, okay, I tell you what, we're going to do this Bible because the Puritans wanted him to do it, and so he said, I'll do it. But on this condition, no footnotes, no commentaries, just what God said. And that's why people call the King James Bible the original Bible.
Okay.
But it's not. The original Bible, if you go back to the time of Constantine before they did their thing, the Bible was in over 500 different languages. And that happened from AD 30 to 300.
Wow.
It wasn't until Catholics took over that it got into the Latin Vulgate. And then by around 1250, they kicked it up again. But that's the whole reason I wrote the third book, is I got so sick of people saying that. And we don't speak the King's English, but somehow we believe that's, and if they understood King James, you know, just like the rest of them Henrys and Jameses and Leos and all the clowns, they were something else, man. They were something else.
My name is, My dad wouldn't preach out of nothing but the King James Version.
I know a whole lot. I got this girl, the Tanya something. She comes out every day, and she has these awesome teachings. But she says from the King James Version, and then, you know, she reads it. So I can tell that she loves the King. It's nothing wrong with it. If you can, I love
it. If you can understand
me, it's
it.
Better than, I love the King James better than anything else because I was raised on it. So I learned to read it like regular English. So I'm cool with it. But then I learned that it was so hard trying to teach people the Bible if I got to teach them what this word means. For instance, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The birth of Jesus Christ happened on this wise. See, we don't talk that way. We use the word way. But and that's the way they speak. And so you can get so crossed up in trying to figure out what they said, and then you got to try to interpret what they said, and so you can learn what it means so you can live it out. So people started coming up with Bibles that were real easy to read.
I thank you for it.
NLT, NIV, Tony Evans Bible.
Yes.
You know.
And I like that American Standard Bible. That
American
Standard Bible.
Yeah, did you ever find that Bible?
No, sir. I'm going to replace it.
That's American Standard leathered back.
Yes.
Loretta has one.
I was impressed when Amazon had the large letter edition, too.
Yep.
So that's the American Standard Bible, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is
yes,
that Tony Evans Bible?
No.
No, but he has one out like that?
No, I forgot which one he got. Janice got one. So
yeah,
it's American Standard Bible.
The
American Standard Bible, large print, right?
Yes.
Right.
And it's the leather back.
Yes, sir. The Tony Evans one. Is that
that's
Amazon?
I believe it's on Amazon.
Okay, what about the other one, Gateway?
Well, no, that's my computer program. That's Bible
Gateway.
Okay,
that's a computer. Oh, you bought a section.
No,
it's called
Bible Gateway. You can have it for free, or you can have the premium version. I got the premium version because you get so much more with it. It's only $39 a year. But
okay, so maybe that's what I need to do to increase mine. Because I like to see how I
have
myself.
You have all the Bibles from A to, what is the W? A to Y. You get the Wycliffe Bible. That's John Wycliffe, the Geneva Bible that I told you about, the Orthodox Jewish Bible, the New Testament for everyone, all the New Revised Standard Versions, all the New Living Translation, the Matthew Bible, the Life Bible, the King James, the International Version, every International Version, the English Bible, Catholic Bible, Century Bible, American Standard Bible, the NASB 1995 Version, both versions, Names of God Bible, the Mounts Reverse Interlinear New Testament, Modern English Version. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Amplified. And you get all that for free. So I got everything in one place. That's why I use it. And I use my Life Application Bible. Say what?
If I use it on my computer, if I have it on my computer, I got it on my thing, on my phone, Gateway as well. And
right.
By it being under the same thing, I'll be able to have it on the phone as well?
I got it on my computer. I got it on my Kindle. I got it on my flip phone. I got it's on every phone. Sheila's laptop. It's on everything.
That'll work. Okay, that's cool. That's all I want. No, thank you. Okay, I'm
going
to go
and
to the
check this. One more thing.
Go ahead.
I want to now, if I'm feeling like lazy and I don't feel like reading and I just want to listen, this is all I have to do. This is Psalm. Listen.
Psalm 141, a Psalm of David. I call to you, Lord. Come quickly to me.
He just started reading it for me, and that's the NIV version.
Okay. So you can be special ed and still get the message.
Exactly. That's why Jesus put it out there. He knew I was going to become a preacher. He said we need to get something for special ed.
We're going to question number 8. David was losing what? And then he thought of what in the old times?
Okay. I don't have that down. Anyway.
Okay, what about 4 through 6?
Man, you did good. You did good.
I am losing all hope. I am paralyzed with fear. I remember the days of old. I ponder all your great works and think about what you've done. I will lift my hands to you in prayer. I thirst for you as parched land thirsts for rain.
All right. Amen. Thank you.
We get some real answers on what to do when it goes crazy, I tell you that.
Man, that's
life
exactly
do that all day.
I mean, being hopelessness and depression, whatever you're going through, I've noticed since we've been doing Psalms, there's an answer for every single way to not avoid it, but get through it. And I like that.
Like
that's where
the
strength comes from.
Yeah. You know, boy, he ain't taking you out of the situation, but he's showing you how to get through it. And that, my biggest problem I had was sitting still, waiting on him to respond or answer. Because sometimes I looked at like, look, Lord, you can do things instantaneously. Every time I need you, I got to wait a while. I guess I said it to him because I was thinking it, so I know you know what I was thinking. But it was like, and then I found out. No, actually, my mom told me, she said, let me explain something to you. Jesus is not a bellhop. He don't come when you ring the bell. Your little dollar tip you going to get, ain't no good. She said, you have to let him work on his time, because if you get in the way, he won't even show up. You got to get out of the way and let him do what he's going to do. And it took me a while to learn how to sit still and let him do what he's going to do. And a lot of it, this guy that's at the pastor of the church that I go to have taught me a lot of that, how to sit still instead of being so, got to do it right now. And I've always been that type of person almost all my life. So to make that adjustment for me was kind of hard because I've always been like, I got to do it. I got to have it now. I want it now. I ain't waiting until later on. I finally learned how to sit still. And I'm glad of it now. I'm very glad of it. I thank everybody that played a part in it, outside of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everybody else that played a part in helping me get there, I thank them. Now, we can continue going. I didn't say my little due diligence.
All right. Amen.
All right. Anybody have anything to say? Any comments? Nothing about that? Okay. Question number 9. Oh, this is a fill in the blank. Come quickly, blank, I am your servant.
Okay, that's 143.
Okay.
I'd like to do the first full verse on 7, the whole thing.
From 7 on down?
Oh.
My brother, you right this time. You good this time.
Okay, we can do that.
I'll let it happen then.
Okay, come quickly, Lord, and answer me, for my depression deepens. Don't turn away from me, or I will die. Let me hear your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Sounds a song. Rescue
right.
me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forth on a firm footing. For the glory of your name, O Lord, preserve my life. Because of your faithfulness, bringing me out of this distress, and your unfailing love, silence all my enemies and destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. Amen.
Amen. My man, hold on 1 minute. Got a question for the pastor. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning. Is that, that's all I need to explain, just that one part of the verse. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning. Is it what I was thinking it was?
Well, old folks simply said it like this. He touched me with a finger of love. So, every morning he wants to know of God's love. Every morning, with the verses that follow, he wants to commit himself and his ways to God. And when I wake up in the morning, I don't ask God for things and stuff. I wake up in the morning and my first prayer to God before any request at all is thanks. And I thank him for his unfailing love, for having watched over us through the night. We live in some very dangerous times. And I don't care where you live, nuttiness happens everywhere. So we live in some dangerous times. And to get through a day and a night is no small thing with Satan roaming around looking for people to devour. It's no small thing that happened. And so I give thanks to him, and I thank him for my wife first, well, my Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit first, and then I thank him for my wife and ask his grace and favor to go with her throughout her daily travels and things she got to do. And I ask the same for Runner for Christ, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and for my children. And then
thank
I
you.
Ask for the mothers. I give thanks for the mothers. And, you know, certain things about that. And then that's pretty much it. And that my prayer for the morning is over. But we talk all through the day because
man.
I don't pray to God about things that might happen. I pray to him when things happen because that's how it happens. A phone ring, I get an email, I go on Facebook, 50 people say pray for me. I literally pray for them. I type the prayer out and send it to them. Because I'm not going to fake like, oh, I'm going to pray for you, and don't.
Right.
I do it. So his loving kindness, he wants to know, he wants to feel, he wants to experience God's love in the morning.
Okay, I had the
as
wrong
as
concept.
He gets up.
I had the wrong concept. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning.
And,
so
and you know what, gentlemen, here's the thing is, his unfailing love is that when you open your eyes up in the morning, some of us,
yeah,
most of us, that's unfailing love right there.
Yeah. But I had a different, I was looking at something different when I read it, but then the rest of the verse said something different. That's why I had it checked in my Bible because I want to inquire. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning. And now that he said what he said, okay, I understand. I didn't have that concept of that's what it meant. But we're going to go to the next question. Question number 10, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
What does the rock do, and who does he make submit to me? Well, no, who does he make submit to me? Yes, correct.
Well, brother teacher, can you take that on? We love
hearing
your voice.
Come on, y'all quit playing with me like this. We in Psalm number 144, my brothers and sisters.
Right.
Okay. 1 through 1 and 2.
My man.
That's the question.
Simple as that.
There we go.
Simple as that.
All right, all right.
Praise the Lord, who is my rock. He trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skill for battle. He is my loving ally and my fortress, my tower of safety, my rescuer. He is my shield, and I take refuge in him. He makes the nations submit to me.
All right, that's it. Plain and simple. Yep, he makes the nation submit to him. So, during his adversity and all that type of stuff, like I say, my man, I don't care what he's dealing with, instead of him calling Tyrone and Uncle Willie, he called on the Lord for everything, literally. And
that's... And makes his complaint.
I know. Go ahead. I know that's how we're supposed to do it. And I've got to try and step into that mold to where I entertain that thought on a regular basis. Instead of me having a situation, I say, oh, let me call the pastor. And as his mother would say, he don't have a heaven or hell to put us here. So I'm like,
exactly.
Why do I call him? Mm-hmm. Call the Lord first. And then I could call and talk to you about it later. But,
that's one of the things that's real uppermost in God's heart, is he did all of this so we could have a personal relationship with him.
Yeah.
You know, I can't wait to get to James chapter 4 because it talks about come near to me. God makes the invitation, come near to me. And I'll come near to you. You know, he talks about resisting the devil and all that stuff, and we'll talk about that connection. But that is an awesome, you know, God says, the one who made the sun, the moon, and the stars says, you, come near to me, and I'll come near to you. His plea is always the same. If my people called by my name will turn from and seek my, then I will. And so, the onus is on us to want him. He wants us to want him. Like that song Marvin Gaye made, I want you to want, I love that song. I want you to want me just like
that's
I want you. God wanted us so bad, he gave us Jesus. Okay, how bad do we want him? Do we want God bad enough to get to church on time? Do we want God bad enough to become a tither regularly? Do we want God bad enough to study the Bible at home? If you don't study the Bible, you really don't want God because he's in there.
I'm 3 out of 3 so far. Keep going.
He's in here. So if you really want him, then act like it.
Yes.
You can't say, I want you, Lord, but don't read the Bible. Don't put no serious study into it. Just look for magic scriptures to fix your problems. He wants to be in relationship with us. That's why Jesus had to come and die, because barring that, we couldn't form one. But because of what Jesus did, now we can cry, Abba, Father. We can say, Dad. And that's what he wants. But we get saved, and then we get satisfied with that, and then I guess the rest we don't never get till we get to heaven. But we could have it now. You know, there's a song by Flame, one of the Christian rappers, or rappers Christian or whatever. He says, the song is called Eternity. And he says in the song that you don't just have to have it in eternity, but you can have it now. God wants to have a relationship with us from day one. When we get saved, when we're born again, that's when he wants our relationship to start growing.
Okay. Thank you. Again, like I told you guys before, I'm working on that. Okay, my next question, which would be question number 11, however. What two verses make you feel that you are just here for a little while? Come on, my brethren.
Oh, let me look back over here at the switchboard. It might be hands up. I ain't even looking at the switchboard. Okay, well, no, we still got the
Okay, we got the table. Okay. Yeah, I need my girl, Reese. All right, question number 11. What two verses make you feel that you are just here for a little while?
Okay, 3 and 4.
Good answer.
I love this verse, too. I think it's in 112 or somewhere else. Oh, Lord, what are human beings that you should notice them?
Yeah.
Mere mortals that you should think about them. For they are like a breath of air. Their days are like a passing shadow.
Yes. So back to that guy, James, he said the same thing about them in some fall.
Yeah.
It's here for a little while, then it's gone.
Okay. Yeah.
But we'll be talking about that soon.
A vapor.
Yeah.
May I read the footnotes on that?
Pardon?
May I read the footnotes on that?
Oh, by all means, I don't want to delay you from anything. Go ahead.
Okay. It says, life is short. David reminds us that it is like a breath and that our days are like a passing shadow. James said that our life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and it's gone. Because life is short, live for God. You will have the time. Don't waste your life by selecting an inferior purpose that has no lasting value. And we all do that. Only God can make your life worthwhile, purposeful, and meaningful. Amen.
Yes, indeed. He can do what we can't. Yep. All right. So, just for a little while, let's go to our next question, which would be our last fill-in-the-blank question. May our sons flourish, blank, God is the Lord. Fill in the blank, my brothers.
Amen. That's from... we got another. Is this somebody trying to break in here? I think somebody trying to break in here.
Uh-oh. Just unlock the door for them.
Oh, yeah, I open their mic. If it open, sometimes these hands pop up by themselves.
Oh. Okay.
You know, sometimes when I'm in here doing the show sometime and I get to talking, my
mm-hmm.
cell phone, which I use this for a monitor, it'll just, like I pushed the one, and it just, you know, next thing you know, I got somebody mic open.
Okay.
I don't know if it's sound that does it or what. But anyway, the person whose mic, you probably heard it say unmuted. If you wanted to say anything, all you have to do is take your mute off and you can talk. If you don't want to say anything, just keep your phone muted, and you'll be just fine.
No, I can talk.
Okay. Hey, Mary.
Hello. 144, 12 through 15.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
So that reads, may our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut from the structure of a palace. May our granaries be full, providing all kinds of produce. May our sheep bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields. May our cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mishaps or failure in bearing. May there be no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. Thank you very much. Glad to hear you.
Yeah, no problem.
Yes.
Okay. Amen. She's holding it down for the women.
You did? Great representation. Great representation. All right. Thank you again. Wait a minute. We're on question 12, right?
13?
Yeah.
13. Oh, yeah, we can do it. Right. My bad. How long will I praise you and on what day?
Oh, 1, 2, and 3.
I start
or just
with
1 and 2.
Yeah.
I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever.
All right. So, yeah, that's the day he's going to praise you, every day. That's
every
what they
day.
Is. Right. Thank you. What should each generation do, and do what with this glorious splendor of all the way to singing about your righteousness, and do what with it? With its glorious splendor. That's what it was, its. What should each generation do, and do what with this glorious splendor all the way to singing about your righteousness? Okay, go ahead.
Baby Holy Ghost say 4 through 7.
Man.
All right, go.
Oh, she right. She right, and this is about her being right. Take her to lunch tomorrow.
Oh, really? No, that's the wrong answer. It's in 146.
Okay.
Well, since Baby Holy Ghost said it, and ain't no way in the world she's going to read it. Okay, so Mary, if Mary, you there, let Mary read 4 through 7.
All right. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness.
All right.
All right.
Thank you very much. Okay. And make sure, Pastor, you take her to lunch somewhere tomorrow. Have her choosing.
She keep
other than
there,
in that kitchen.
At lunch somewhere. Oh, no, she ain't going to no restaurant. That's out.
Okay.
I ain't worried about that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot what we're going through. Yeah. Well, then you going to spark up the grill for her in the morning. Put out something nice.
Well, I'm going to put some broccoli on there and some cauliflower.
Okay,
hey, man,
I know
Sharon know what I'm talking about. She ain't no big meat eater, so I'd have to throw some corn on there, a can of corn the grill. And can
that'll
you put
work.
Corn on the grill in the can?
Oh, my man. Oh, no, we through with you. That's okay. Just leave her alone. Let her continue to cook. You ain't no cowboy.
So you can't grill cream corn in the can?
You can, but it ain't. You better open it first. Because that's going to be a hot can if you sit it on the grill. Anyway, last question, everybody. Question 15. Who lifts those bent beneath their loads?
Hello. 145:14.
Yes, ma'am. You are so correct.
The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down.
That is so correct. Thank you, young lady. I appreciate you. I hate you came in on the end and took all the recognition, but I'm glad you was here.
Oh, yeah, she had to hold it down for the ladies. The ladies was going down this place tonight.
The last minute, like she wanted the last minute players. We're going to throw her in at the end of the game and let her do this. And she did it great.
Right.
Yeah, well, all the brethren was kind of getting to me.
Pardon?
The brethren thing.
Oh, yeah, well, the good brethren, we're trying to learn to unite like you sisters do.
Yeah, we had to get some good sistering.
Yeah, right, right. You know why I got that good brethren? Brian Burke's daddy.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Dave always say, good brethren.
Good brethren.
But I'd like to thank all my brothers and sisters for taking the time to answer the questions, be part of the program, and help us learn and find out and listen to things and learn things, shape ourselves in a better way. And by reading the words, studying it in some shape, form, or fashion, enhances that pickup that we're looking for to increase our own personal lives in going in a positive direction. So I thank Pastor for these classes when I'm a student. It's a little different when you're a facilitator. But I learned to tell them butterflies, if you treat me right, I'll feed you at the end. So they've been working with me. But anyway, I'm going to say the prayer, and Pastor O is going to say what he needs to say.
Oh, well, let me say that first, and then you can say the prayer. Okay.
Oh, I was trying to get out of this. Go ahead.
The schedule. Oh, yeah, you made it. You on time. I don't count my pontificating time as your time.
Okay.
So you in good shape. You would have been if it had not been for my pontificating.
Oh no, we like
about,
that. We enjoy that, Pastor. We enjoy it. I do it.
About,
you speak for me.
You would have been through about 7 minutes after 10. See, after 7.
10 after 7?
Yep. Yeah, you would have been through right about 10. See, so I don't mark y'all. When I talk, I see the clock, and I know how long I talk. So that ain't your time. That's me pontificating or commentating, making comments, whatever.
I don't pontificate.
So I don't count that against you, okay? So normally, hour and a half, that's good enough for a Bible reading class. The Bible reading and then discussion is good. You got discussion, that's a good thing. But when your class goes overtime, like 2-3 hours, 2.5 hours, that's out of control. But this is good control, so you're in good time. So far, you're
thank
and Mackie
you.
Tied for that good time. I never ever made it. Even when I didn't have the mics open for people to talk, I still couldn't get it done on time. So Jesus just fired me and hired y'all. So anyway, this Saturday, Pastor Sarah Tate will be preaching the message. And remember, this Saturday, the service starts at 9:30, but there'll be no church school. We're back in Sunday school. Okay, Sunday school for everybody is open now while the teachers are doing their presentations. And then in particular in June, we'll kick it off for the youth downstairs, okay? So remember that this Saturday, the service starts at 9:30. So if you're asked by Kathy to do scripture and prayer, 9:30, not 10 o'clock. Okay, if you hear me, then it's because you didn't show up, and then the Lord put it on me. Okay, so Sarah Tate will be preaching this Sunday. I'll be preaching back to James chapter 3, and we're actually going to preach James chapter 3 and not chapters 1 and 2. So come out this Sunday for that. Again, big shout-out to Michelle Anderson for that awesome Mother's Day message. I'm telling you, and everything else that happened. I got something special coming up for August. I was me and Pastor Tate was talking today. Got something coming up for August and September. August going to involve women, and September going to involve men. As soon as I get through, as soon as Pastor Tate get through finalizing that one part, and then we get some stuff done on the other part, then I'll let you know exactly what it is. But it's coming up this August, this September, if the Lord willing, and say the same thing. And we all still here and ain't got raptured or personally raptured. Okay, don't forget to pray for Mother Irma Miller. Pray for what I'm praying on her behalf, is that she come back into the church under her own power. Don't forget to pray the same thing for Mother Cheryl Hamilton, Father of the Church, Tyrone Hamilton. And we say that because he's the oldest man in the church, so he's the father of the church, right? So that's what we call him. Amen. Don't forget Mother Persia. Don't forget Mother Marilyn, okay? And don't forget to pray for your brothers. Like Paul says over there in Ephesians chapter 6, don't forget to pray for us and brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world, because Satan don't like none of us. And no matter how strong or weak we are in the Word of God, we belong to Jesus, and he hates us. And he can't do nothing to us unless he get permission slips from Jesus. And if Jesus give him permission slips, Jesus know he done already lost, because Jesus wouldn't give him a permission slip if Jesus don't take no losses. So if Satan is at you, guess what? You getting ready to win. He getting ready to take a loss. You getting ready to win, get you a W. Satan getting ready to take a L. Okay, you might not think so. It might seem like he winning, but he finna take a L, because Jesus don't take no losses. Okay, he just, even if it had to get where, Lord, save me, Jesus will be right there, snatch you up out that water, and Satan and his little wild winds and waves just had to calm down.
All
right. And you just had to go on to the boat with Jesus, and he'll make it a teaching moment so you won't sink next time. Ain't it awesome being a Christian?
Beautiful.
Yes, yes.
We just can't lose. We can't lose because he already won.
Right.
But we ain't got that yet, though.
As long as we stay focused.
See, somebody on that pew just got blessed. I always wanted to say that.
Well, be
I'm out of here, man. I'm going
me.
Crazy. Now I'm out of here.
All right, all my brothers and sisters, I thank you again. I thank all of you guys again for taking the time to do what you did, to listen. Even though some of you didn't participate, still, that's okay. You listen. I'm good with that. I thank you. I'm quite sure at another time we'll hear your voice. So right now we're going to pray ourselves out, and we're going to go ahead on and continue on with our day, especially for the basketball watchers. Dear Father God, thank you for this night. Again, we thank you for all the opportunities you gave us to search your word and find out what it is we can know about you a little more, to know how to increase our ability to have a relationship with you. I myself personally strive towards that relationship like you do when you get that one that you love, that girlfriend, that wife, that fiance, whatever title you may put on her. I want to form that relationship with you. But I'm not speaking just for me. I hope any brother and sister that don't have that is searching for that same thing with you, Father. Lord, I'm asking you to continue working with us individually and collectively so that we'll learn your word as a group and learn it independently so we can share your word with others. Lord, we ask the needs and all of the blessings in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Wow.
Amen.
Good brother.
Amen. And the church said, wow.
Wow.
All right, y'all. Y'all take it easy. And thanks, Mary, for kicking it in for the women. Amen.
Yeah, we thank you. Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
Good energy fills me. I feel the love. I know it's not me. It's from above. I'm overflowing. I feel the good. It's something on me. strongly if you feel me. Everybody throw your hands up and say, we know. Blessings on me, I feel the grace. I don't deserve it, it's just his pace. I'm aerial surfing, gone with the wind. His hand is on me, if you agree, can't explain it simply. Go ahead and throw your hands up. I woke up this morning to get it in. No, I'm not playing, this is my trend. No, I'm not perfect, I wanna get it right. So I encourage my own self, turn left, focus on my own shelf. Reach for the top, don't stop.
Hand.
Yeah. I feel good, I'm so grateful. I feel good, I'm so thankful. I feel good, man, I'm so blessed.